Hello and welcome to the Friday, August 30th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Today we got an interesting case that was relayed to us by one of our readers, Kevin. Kevin noted that a couple of systems in his environment were compromised with malware, and it looked like a software called Sandori, when it updated, pulled down the malware. Now, first a little bit about Sandori. I'm not that familiar with this package, but appears to be somewhat popular, even though not necessarily well-liked if you look at some of the Google results you're getting for it. But essentially, its goal is to prevent typos. So if you type something wrong in your URL bar, it will intercept that and suggest an alternative site that's probably what you really want, kind of to work around typo squatting. Well, what happened here apparently is that the update server for Sandori did get compromised. We're not sure yet if it was yet another sort of DNS hijack or whether actually the attacker was able to upload malicious code to the legitimate update server. Either way, as part of its periodic automatic update, Sandori was then downloading and installing malware. This, of course, is a real bad scenario that has been proposed in the past. If you remember, there's software called EvilCrate that attempts to take advantage of insecure update mechanisms, but I don't remember where it has been used on a large scale like this by actually taking over a legitimate update server. Luckily, it looks like the malware is widely recognized by anti-malware systems, and overall, it's not very stealthy. It pops up the usual ransom notice asking for money that the computer got locked by the FBI, and it steals credentials from the system. As of now, Sandori should have fixed the problem, but I would still be careful, and if you run in your environment, we're not exactly sure for how long this problem persisted. And Metasploit has added an exploit for an older pseudo vulnerability, which in itself probably wouldn't be all that important if it wasn't for OS X still using an unpatched version of sudo. This particular vulnerability does have a couple of prerequisites, so it's not as straightforward as some other privilege escalation vulnerabilities. For example, it does require that the victim user has the ability to run sudo and has run sudo in the past. The attacking user has to have access to the same system and has to have the ability to change the system time, which typically a low-level user on OS X doesn't have. The problem is rooted in the file that tracks whether or not the user recently used sudo. Sudo, if you have ever used it, gives you root privileges temporarily in order to not have to enter your password every time. It usually has a time frame of a few minutes, and within those few minutes you can access commands via sudo without having to re-authenticate. There is a file in the system that tracks when did you actually authenticate the last time, and the attacker in this case, by manipulating this file, can trick the system into believing that the attacker already or still has access to sudo. So it's a little bit convoluted, but as typical for Metasploit, Metasploit makes it easy to now exploit this vulnerability. And if you ever needed more proof that any kind of software that you deliver to a client can be reverse engineered, there is an interesting paper reverse engineering the Dropbox client. This isn't so far significant, not just because Dropbox, the cloud-based filing sharing system, is so popular, but also because it does cache credentials. It has to cache credentials in order to work well, because it has to periodically sync with the cloud, and it's really not practical for the user to have to enter the username and password each time. What these researchers did is try to inject their own code into the client in order to extract the key that is then being used to authenticate the Dropbox client to the server. Now, many times you can do that by, for example, playing SL man in the middle and such. Dropbox does all of that pretty well and doesn't allow for this, but what it can protect is once the actual API key that's being used here is in memory, of course, any user with full access to the system would be able to extract it. And then we got a bug in iOS and OS X that maybe not that dangerous, but it's still highly annoying and somewhat curious because it affects both operating systems. A particular Arabic text, if displayed anywhere within these operating systems, may be as an SMS message or as part of a web page, will crash the system. Also, if OS X scans for Wi-Fi networks and the SSID happens to contain this string, it will crash as well. At this point, there is no patch from Apple. And like I said, it's just a denial of service attack at this point. Nevertheless, kind of curious how it affects iOS and OS X, probably pointing to some of the core operating system libraries that are being used in both systems. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening. There will be no podcast on Monday because Monday is a holiday, Labor Day here in the United States. So talk to you again on Tuesday. Bye.